The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Let's talk about Gabriel McLouf. He is the Governor of the Central Bank of Ireland. And he has been talking at an event in the UK about Ireland's population aging at a faster rate than almost any other European country. And he said people need to be working beyond the age of 65 and that policies incentivising this need to be considered. Emma Howard is an economist at TU Dublin and she is with me. Emma, is he right?
Yeah, I think he certainly has a point in that the challenges that we face from an ageing population are considerable. There's two aspects to why we're the fastest ageing population in Europe. One is the positive story that our life expectancy is increasing. So we've got one of the highest life expectancies. So men are expected to live to nearly 81 years of age and women to 84 and a half, more or less, which is a good news story. But we also have declining fertility rates. So those have been steadily declining since 1965, where it was about four was the average number of children per woman. And now our birth rate is at 1.5. So significant decreases in our birth rate alongside that aging population is putting a big burden on our public spending. And there's a couple of aspects of that. So one is obviously the pension bill that we face as those workers retire, but also the health burden of older population and also long-term care spending that will be needed as well.
So other European countries have, I was going to say crossed this Rubicon, maybe they haven't crossed it, they've kind of avoided crossing the Rubicon, but they reached it certainly before we have. Are there any lessons to be learned in how they've dealt with it?
Yeah, I mean, some European countries have increased their retirement age. So, you know, number of countries, it's 67 is the retirement age there. But really, the choice, as most choices when it comes to policies, involves a trade-off. So either we increase taxes on those who are working or we increase the retirement age for when you become eligible for a pension. And the Commission for Pensions reported on this a number of years ago, and their recommendation was that we gradually increase the pension age, the retirement age, and they recommended really gradual increases by 3 months each year from 2028, so to give people, you know, some time to get used to this or put plans in place, up to 68 years in 2039. Now, it turned out to be not very politically popular to increase the age of retirement. So the government made the decision to keep that retirement age at 66. But what that means is that we now need to finance that burden that we know is coming, because at the moment we've got four workers per one person employed who are financing those pensions of retirees. And that ratio is going to be close to 3 to 1 by 2037. And the estimates or the projections are that by 2052, we will have two people working for every one person retired. So there's not, you know, we can't have it both ways. We either need to increase those contributions that working people are making or increase the length of time that people are working for.
Well, Breed Smith is a People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, retiring her seat in Dáil Éireann. Breed, how do you think we should deal with the burden that we know is coming?
Well, first of all, I read the article and I just thought that the way the Governor of the Central Bank was discussing the issue, I think should be a health warning to all workers who are looking forward to retiring, but are being told in a roundabout way, a bit vague about it and a bit sort of not getting directly to the point, that at some stage our elites are going to want us to be working till we're 75. And I think people in this country, workers in this country, will resist that, will not have that. And that's why when your last speaker mentioned that it wasn't politically popular, the government decided to stop retirement age rising at 66. They were forced into that because they could have lost the last election had they not given that commitment in 2020. And so I personally view this differently. I think workers who want to work into their 70s or up to 70 should be allowed to. And I know many who do make that choice. certain sections of the public sector allow you to make that choice. And I know many people who've made that choice. They want to work. They're fit and healthy. They want to work till they're 70 or 71 or 2. And I think a lot of workers may make that choice. But telling us that we're going to have to increase the retirement age in order to fund it in the wider scheme of the economy we run is just not acceptable, particularly if you're a manual worker, if you're a nurse, yeah. if you're a construction worker, if you're a carer, if you're a cleaner, if you're a teacher. That is just not on. The fact that we live longer, women up to 84 and men up to 81 on average, is something to be celebrated, not to be seen as a burden. And there are many ways to fund the 2-to-1 ratio that is being spoken about here, which I actually think could be different if we welcome okay. in people to work in this country, and we already have something like 15% of inward migration for workers. But there's other ways of funding that. And one of the ways is to tax wealth. Another is to increase the contribution that employers make on PRSI. But every pensioner that goes for retirement at 65, 66, yeah. 67 and beyond has paid for that retirement during their working life. They have
paid
for
PRSI. But that's not how it
they have
works,
paid into
though.
Their pensions.
Like, as in the PRSI that I'm paying now is not kind of going to fund the pension that I'll be entitled to when I'm in my late 60s. It's paying somebody else's pension now. And I need somebody when I'm in my late 60s to pay PRSI to pay me my pension. Like, that's how it works. And you know that. And that, I mean, it'd want to be some wealth tax to deal with a 4-to-1 ratio going down to 2-to-1.
Well, it doesn't have to be. You want to see when you actually research it, the amount of wealth in this country that goes untaxed. I mean, a 2% wealth tax that we're proposing on the 30,000 millionaires that have more than 4.7 million of wealth would give us 8 billion a year. And that's 2%, which is a tiny amount of tax. I'm sure many workers would welcome the idea of paying 2% tax on their income. And that's on the wealth of people who have sometimes much more than that. So I honestly don't believe that workers will tolerate the idea of being forced to work longer than what is currently the 66. In fact, we're campaigning for it to be brought back down to 65. And I, you know, the other element of what the central bank governor argued was to get more women into the workforce. Well, I mean, women are a huge part of the workforce, and they're carrying a heavy burden of the type of work, childminding, cleaning, nursing, all of that sort of stuff. That means that you cannot, unless you want to crucify people, you cannot force them to work beyond 65, 66. It is just not acceptable. And people need to be able to look forward to having some level of living after that age until they're 81 for men and 84 for women, as has been outlaid here.
Sinead Brady is with us as well, the career psychologist and author of Total Reset. Sinead, setting aside the kind of the economic issues and those kind of workers to retiree ratio, and setting aside the point that Breed makes just for a moment about kind of, you know, people wanting to retire and should be able to kind of be entitled to retire in their mid 60s if they want to. I mean, the other aspect to this is the idea that with an aging population, you also end up with this huge cohort of the population aged kind of 65 plus who have got a huge degree of however you want to describe it, kind of knowledge, experience, wisdom, whatever. And a lot of that gets lost to the workforce or to different workforces, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think this is something we have to acknowledge also. And as you said, ignoring some of the or avoiding some of the other issues. But what we're looking at is that the tempo and pattern of careers has changed over the past number of decades, and how people engage with their careers has also changed. So we have periods of time in our careers where there's unemployment, underemployment, time to upskill, reskill, retrain, taking time. So people have what are called curvy careers, and they're engaging with their career across the course of time in a different way. And some people absolutely want to work beyond what might be considered a typical retirement age. But for some people, they're actually only coming into the stride of their career in their late 40s, early 50s, because they have given that time in their earlier life to unpaid work that actually supports the economy. So we have to kind of think about careers in a very different way, where we have periods of unemployment, underemployment, side by side other types of employment. And careers are different than they used to be. So they're not linear. They don't happen according to an age and stage model any longer. People engage with their careers in very different ways.
I'm conscious as well of how kind of it flexibility has become a big kind of watchword within the employment industry over the last few years as a result of COVID and what have you. But still the model is very much the kind of the 40 hour a week until age 65 or 66 and then suddenly kind of 0 hours a week. And I just wonder to a degree, instead of talking about flexibility always in the context of people with young families or people needing to commute, whether we need to also talk about it as people get into their 60s, and is there a possibility that they do wind down in some areas and it allows a bit more longevity in others, or you move into maybe more mentorship roles that would be less burdensome? Because Breed is right, there's lots of kind of careers out there that, you know, just from a physical point of view, people would be incapable of doing for too long.
Absolutely. And that's where knowledge, experience, wisdom, and this kind of notion that we actually have mentorship and such a large volume of brilliant experience and skills that we learn as we grow and we build ourselves into our careers. So what we now know is that there was a time when we thought that as people aged, they became less able to do things. But what we actually know is where the brain is still, you know, functioning very well, people actually enter the most creative and innovative part of their career as they age, because the type of intelligence that they display is different. So once you hit the age of 25, you have what's called fluid intelligence. That's the type of intelligence you display in your work. Then once you hit 25 and onwards, it changes to a crystallized form of intelligence. So we begin to see and experience and do things in an entirely different way. So there are different, like immensely different experience and values that people bring to the workplace as they age that we need to see through a different lens. And as you say, where somebody is well, where they are able to, where they want to, they offer so much to the world of work and to people within it. And that wisdom and that experience and the communities of knowledge that they bring are just phenomenal.
One of our listeners says one way to keep people from drawing down on the public pension at the age of 65 is you don't pay any tax on earnings and your employer pays no tax either. Employers will be eager to offer good packages to keep older people in work, and it's financially beneficial for everyone. On top of that, your first 100,000 earned should be tax-free as well, which would give young people a leg up. Somebody else, Kevin in Old Town, says the solution, of course, is to take steps to increase inward migration. And nobody will have a job in 5 years anyway, with thanks to AI. So the conversation is redundant, is the observation of one listener. Listen, thank you all for your time. Thank you to Sinead Brady, the career psychologist, author of Total Reset, Breed Smith, People Before Profit, TD for Dublin South Central, and Emma Howard, the economist in TU Dublin. We need the same pension system as Norway, says Kieran in Galway. Kieran in Galway, if you're still listening, send me back a message. Two sentences I'll allow. Explain the pension system in Norway if you can. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. Tig says, can we control government spending and match politicians' pension drawdown age to that of a standard worker before we start increasing Joe Soap's, as their pensions are so high for such a short career, possibly remove their Irish pension if they're getting an EU pension as well? And this listener says, only two options, really? Increase retirement age or increase taxes? Seriously, what about option number three? The government stops wasting money and makes some savings.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.